Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on learning from current events when we come back. You know, many of the lessons that you hear on the Law Hour are just a small part of our two-week school on courtroom strategy and procedure, and this class includes lessons that range from what to do and what not to do at the arrest or when you receive a complaint, a summons, or a citation. And you'll learn how to make a chronology of the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence just like the police do. And you'll learn how to conduct a hearing, present evidence, cross-examine witnesses, ask questions, make opening and closing statements, enter exhibits and evidence, write motions, briefs, affidavits, and asseverations. And we don't just cover what goes on in the courtroom. You'll learn preliminary procedures, arraignments, bail setting, what papers to file, how to put exculpatory evidence into the record, how to present your legal and lawful positions, what issues are appealable, and how to preserve those appealable issues for appellate review. Now, there are 28 essential elements to master in courtroom strategy and procedure, and you'll learn all of them here at the law school in this class. If you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, then call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, it's free of charge. Courtroom strategy and procedure, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to our website, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. All right, last time we picked up on the international forecaster, Bob Chapman, puts out this paper. And he started off with this really famous statement by David Rockefeller. You know, we wouldn't know some of this if these guys that are on the inside don't once in a while spill the beans. Or sometimes an insider will at the Bilderberger Convention, you know, every year, or the Trilateral Convention or something, you know, they'll come out and they'll say, well, here's what went on this time. These are closed meetings of the very rich and powerful in the world. The average Joe Sixpack like us, we don't have access to these kinds of meetings, and we don't have access to the kind of information that come out of them unless it's reported to us. And Bob Chapman's not somebody that's going to be invited to the Bilderbergers. But Bob knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who got into the Bilderbergers, and once in a while we get little pieces and little blips come out. Well, back in 1991, here's what David Rockefeller said about the New World Order. In Baden-Baden, Germany, he said, we're grateful, this is Rockefeller now, he said, we're grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. So if you thought that the New World Order and world government was a fiction, well, David Rockefeller just told you that it wasn't. Now, back in 1880, a guy by the name of John Swinton, he was the Katie Couric. He was the Brian Williams of his day. He was the editor of the New York Tribune in New York City. You know, by comparison today, we'd say, well, he was the editor of the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times, very prestigious newspaper in New York. He's the editor. Now, listen to what he said back in 1880. You got that date? Write it down. 1880, not 1980, 1880, you know, just back here about 150 years ago, not 140. He said, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. Now here's what Swinton said. He said, he was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged all of his colleagues when he said, there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions. And if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with. And others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions before would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are, he said, the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. He concluded by saying, we are intellectual prostitutes. Now, what do you think of Katie Couric and Brian Williams and Jim Lehrer? Do you think that anything is different today than it was in 1880? You know, when we look at the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, we find that one of the protocols deals with, here's how we shall handle the press. And that was written back in the 1880s, about 1884. I'll give you a report on these secret societies here again one of these days, and we'll take a look at these secret societies and what their game plan calls for. And David Rockefeller is a member of a number of these secret societies, and he attends these meetings. They have an agenda. The world's elite, the people who are the billionaires of the world, have an agenda. They've got a plan for the world, and they're executing that plan. Now, 9/11 was a part of their plan. This Gulf oil spill is a part of their plan, and they're guiding legislation through the Congress. There are certain things that these people want enacted into law, and by God, they're going to get them. Like it or lump it, they're going to get it. And then that's going to impact upon little guys like us. As this guy from BP said, the little people. Okay, so you little guys down there on the Gulf, get used to it and get your Vaseline out. Let's wake up and smell the coffee here. There's an agenda in place. And there are some guys in the independent press. There is an independent press out here. I'm one of them. And we're not liked very well. And we get vilified quite often, you know. And people try to shut our mouths. And they don't like what we say. And we're kind of champions of free speech. You know, I don't care if you don't like what I say, but shut up and let me say it. And I'll do the same for you. I don't like what you're saying either, but then I'll shut up and let you say it. That's what free speech is all about. Now, these guys don't like free speech. And they like free speech when it applies to the Illuminists, but they don't want free speech when somebody says, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Like I did last time, I said, hey, wait a minute, this peak oil thing over here sounds good for marketing, but it doesn't make any sense because here's how much oil we know we've got. And we got it from the Oil and Gas Journal. It was reported in National Geographic magazine. I mean, boys and girls, if you can't believe National Geographic and the Oil and Gas Journal, you know, who can you believe? All right, going on here in the International Forecaster, this is the Saturday, June 19th, 2010 edition. Remember, it comes out twice a week now. The Illuminati also buy out all of the patents for more energy-efficient machines, regardless of the type of energy being utilized, or they threaten the inventors until they cave in, or the inventors are assassinated. Stanley Meyer figured out how to run a car on hydrogen released by breaking ordinary water down into its elemental components of hydrogen and oxygen using oscillations of current that produced harmonic vibrations in water molecules causing them to shatter, like a glass broken by Ella Fitzgerald hitting just the right note. This was done using extremely low voltage and current, unlike electrolysis, which requires high voltage and high current. And in this manner, energy was released in a very efficient, cost-effective manner. Mr. Mayer is unfortunately no longer with us, as he was poisoned in a local restaurant after being continually accused of fraud by his many Illuminist tormentors, both inside and outside of our beloved government. His prototype car that ran on water only and all of his notes and experimental data suddenly disappeared from his home as your government and Big Oil, at the behest of the Illuminati, completed the illegal theft and suppression of his ideas. His brother has attempted to duplicate Stan's experiments but is in fear of his life and reticent to speak about the findings for obvious reasons. And as yet another example of the suppression of innovative ideas, Nikola Tesla was bankrupted and his Wardenclyffe Tower dismantled by Westinghouse and J.P. Morgan when Tesla attempted to bring free zero-point energy to the people of the world. While Edison, who was willing to play the evil Illuminist game of control by way of the creation of an energy distribution system composed of money-sucking utilities, where the energy would have to be paid for ad infinitum by the public, and it became immensely wealthy by doing that. At one point, Tesla had a Pierce Arrow automobile equipped with an electric motor stored near Westinghouse main plant in Buffalo, New York, that he could run at speeds of up to 90 miles an hour, with the power source being a box made out of components that you could buy at virtually any electrical supply store of the day for the sum that virtually anyone could have afforded. And he simply hooked the box up to a wire connected to the electric motor, and away he went. And when the people in Buffalo accused Tesla of witchcraft, he left in disgust, never to return. Now, we give you this little anecdotal information to show you the extent of the suppression and the betrayal not only of Tesla, but of the people of the United States and of the world at large. You are a slave to the Illuminists because they have stolen virtually any and all technology which would have freed the people from want and from financial bondage. Whenever you see anyone in poverty or hungry or unclothed or without shelter or suffering from some sickness based on malnutrition, you can rest assured that all of that suffering is totally unnecessary and can be laid at the feet of this megalomaniacal cabal of evil, bloodthirsty, satanic, sadistic psychopaths which we refer to as the Illuminati. Now, another strategy utilized is to totally trash the price of oil when wildcatters start moving in to exploit large oil fields like the Bakken, B-A-A-K-E-N, taking crude oil prices just low enough to bankrupt the wildcatters, who do not have the economies of scale, large cash reserves, and low-cost financing, which the large oil companies enjoy, and then to immediately drive the price of oil back up to astronomical levels for big profits after the competition has been eliminated. And in addition, we'd like to point out that a new oil refinery located within the United States has not been built for more than 30 years. And even if there were plenty of domestic oil available, the lack of adequate refinery capacity would still limit the supplies of gasoline and other petroleum products, thereby creating a multi-level system for the control of the price and supply of both oil and oil products by these multinational oil corporations. Let me pause right there. I'll put an arrow right here. Let me tell you a little story here. As an instructor, I have occasion to run across a number of people who come to school here. For instance, one time I had a guy come in here. He was a laser physicist. And I asked him, I said, this is about 20 years ago, and I said, how many laser physicists, I've never heard of that before, how many laser physicists are there in the world? And he said, 30. 30 laser physicists in the world. He came here to school with a bodyguard, and he had to check in every 4 hours, 24-7, while he was here at school. They keep track of him by satellite telephone to make sure he doesn't get kidnapped and, you know, he's being watched all the time. Well, you know, if you only got 30 of these guys in the world, you want to protect him, wouldn't you? I had a guy here one time from Jacksonville, Florida. He was a brigadier general in the Air Force. At the time, he was the head of the John Birch Society, and he was retired, and I guess he got retired out of the Air Force because of his connections with the John Birchers. But anyway, he flew the SR-71. Now, that's quite a little story to tell, you know, if you're one of the pilots of the SR-71. And once in a while, you know, some guy comes through here, and he's got quite a little story to tell. Well, let me tell you this story. There's an oil guy coming through here one time, an oil man from Kansas. Now, he's not a big oil man, but he had about 300 oil wells in Kansas. They're called stripper wells. You see, when you're out drilling for oil, you drill a hole in the ground and you find oil and you pump on that oil. And at some point in time, you get less and less oil coming out of the ground. So, you know, you start off and you get 700 barrels a day. That's pretty good. But when it goes down to 100 barrels a day, big companies like Exxon and Shell, they don't want to dink around with 100 barrels a day. So they sell it off. This is what they call tertiary oil recovery, I think is the word they use. Tertiary, I believe, is the term. That is, it's the available oil that can be pumped out of the ground. And so this second-tier company comes in, and they get a bunch of wells that pump 100 barrels a day, a little smaller bunch of guys. And then pretty soon this thing gets down to 50 barrels a day, and then it gets down to 10 barrels a day, and then pretty soon it gets down to 10 barrels a week. And that's where this guy was. And he's down at the bottom of the pool, you know, like us guys, down here at Bottom Peters. And he's got 300 of these wells that produce about 10 barrels a week. So they don't run these oil wells every day. They shut them off. And then they come out there, and the way this works is when you first drill a well, you can get about 40% of the oil out by pumping it. And then the other 60% is left down there, but it drips off the wall down to the bottom of the pool. So now, here's this pool of oil down here. Maybe it had 1 million barrels of oil in it, and the big company came in, and they got 900,000 of it. And then you got a different company comes in, and they take out 50,000, and then the next one comes in. And what we're trying to do is we want to get all this oil out. Now, when they started out, you know, if 1 million barrels is 40%, then it had about 2.5 million barrels in it. Well, they got out 1 million barrels, but they still got 1.5 million barrels left in there. But pretty soon, you can only get out about 10 barrels a week. Now, the price of oil, when this guy came here, this guy a few years ago, was $10 a barrel. So this would produce about $100 a week. And he said, boy, it's really close. By the time you pump it out, load it in the truck, haul it down to the refinery, boy, it's really close. Now, he said, if the price of oil goes up to $12, $14, $16, we'll be in Fat City. So at the very same time that this guy is going to school here, there is a bill in Congress. And the big oil companies are sponsoring this, and they want to close down all of the oil wells in the country, all the stripper oil wells in the country, because these stripper wells, they alleged, were an environmental threat. Yeah, they threatened the environment. The surface water could get into these wells and go down in the ground, contaminate aquifers, and, you know, they came up with a story. I don't know how true it was, but, you know, there's their story. Now, remember, these wells have been drilled, and they cost $1 million to drill it, and the hole's in the ground, and every week you can push the button, start it up, and you can pump out 10 barrels of oil. These oil wells, nationwide, about 50,000 of them, he said there's about 50,000 of these stripper wells in America, and they produce 17% of the oil produced domestically in the country. Well, the bill went through Congress, and they closed all these oil wells down. So that eliminated that 17%. Now, boys and girls, 20 years ago, we had an oil shortage in America. We reached peak oil in 1972. Now, just your common sense would tell you that this 17% coming out of these 50,000 wells from little guys like this. Now, this little guy has 300 of these wells, and it would produce 10 barrels a week. Let's see, that's 3,000 barrels a week times $10 was $30,000 a week times 30 times 50. That's $1.5 million a year. But no, just as a little business, and he's got some guys working for him, driving trucks and hauling this oil off to the refinery and so on. And it produces 17% of the oil. Now, our common sense would say that if 60% of the oil is left down there, wouldn't we like to get that other 1.5 million barrels out of the ground, you know, over a period of the next 60 or 100 years? And it's dripping off the walls and it accumulates. Now, at $70 a barrel, I mean, this guy would be in Fat City. But see, these wells have all been closed down and they've all been sealed up. Now, the price of oil is $70, but even at $70, it wouldn't be economical to redrill a well that goes down and gets 10 barrels a week. So, that 17% of our oil in this country has been lost forever. I mean, it's gone. Didn't need to. But the members of Congress did that for the oil industry to eliminate all of these 50,000 wells, to eliminate these little competitors. After all, that's what this game is all about. It's business. It's a monopoly. And, you know, in the 1930s, you could have gone out anywhere and drilled a hole in the ground, and if you had oil, you'd be able to sell your oil to somebody and make some money. Now, over the years, there's only 5 oil companies left in the world. I mean, we're down to a monopoly of these 5 oil companies, and British Petroleum just happens to be one of them, and I suspect that they're going to be eliminated and swallowed. They're already talking about Shell Oil taking over, or Exxon. Now, we're playing this game of monopoly, which doesn't have anything to do with providing oil for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. It has to do with world control and a new world government and a new world order. That's what the game is all about. And you and I, we're just a couple of the little people, and this plan here calls for the elimination of about 90% of the people on planet Earth. They're called useless eaters. Not only are we little people, we're also referred to as being useless eaters. And the world is overpopulated by all of us little people, useless eaters that need to be eliminated. And there's a plan afoot to do that. And this is why I suggest that you get a hold of a newsletter like the International Forecaster so that you get a little bit of news coming from somebody else with a different viewpoint than Brian Williams and Katie Couric. Nice people that they are. Diane Sawyer, God love her. I mean, I'm not railing against Brian. I watch him every night, him and Katie and Diane. God love them. But, you know, those people work for money, and they work for the news media, and the news media is owned by the Illuminati. I mean, the same people that own Standard Oil and Shell also own the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they're only going to tell you what they want you to know. They tell you about how important it is that we stick with fossil fuels, and they tell us about how important it is that peak oil, you know, is a big problem. And then they come along with this big oil spill, and they say, well, now see, we told you about green, didn't we? Well, okay, boys and girls, there's some big changes coming, and these big changes are going to affect you, they're going to affect me. And knowing what's coming and about when it's coming is a big asset, and it's $160 a year. So let me give you this guy's name and address again. This guy's name is Bob Chapman. And when you make out the check, make it out to Bob Chapman. He doesn't want it made out to the International Forecaster, and he tells you that very plainly here. It's $160, but before you send your money, why don't you get online and go to www.intforecaster.com. That's easy enough, isn't it? That's www.intforecaster.com. And if you want to send him an email, just send it to the same address, but it's Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster, internationalforecaster.com. And when you do that, get the dope, get the facts, and then subscribe to the newsletter. And it's a 7 cents page, or less. 7 cents. This is a small edition, 22 pages. And you'll get the kind of information that I'm giving to you here, and this is why I wanted to review just one of his newsletters and let you see what's going on here. Now, of course, wars and conflicts, he goes on to say, the creation and funding of terrorist situations in countries like Nigeria, as well as oil cartels, weather disasters and the like, round out the system of price and supply controls over the petroleum industry worldwide. Yes, one day we will reach an oil shortage, and it will be a completely manufactured, totally unnecessary, and utterly avoidable shortage. It will be used as one of the final cards played to bring you to your knees so that you will go along with the creation of the Illuminati's New World Order, their Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new order of the ages. Check it out. It's on the back of one of your dollar bills, under the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye of their god, Osiris Apollo Nimrod. Yes, their god is the Apollyon, Apollo, set forth in the book of Revelation, and also called Abaddon and the Destroyer and the Angel of the Bottomless Pit. Now you know what the Capitol Dome, the womb of Isis, and the 6666 tall 666 square-based Washington Monument, the Phallus of Osiris, are for, don't you? Namely, for the resurrection of the Angel of the Bottomless Pit. Now no one knows whether this is meant to be literal or figurative, but either way you shouldn't like it. This is the lost symbol of Freemasonry. And it's not strange how the Vatican Dome and imported Egyptian obelisk in St. Peter's Square, the obelisk is from the city of On in Egypt, which was dedicated to Ra, Osiris, Isis, and the Capitol Dome and Washington Monument are laid out in the same fashion. And both of these are laid out in the same manner as the temple of Amun-Ra at Karnak, with its temple and its obelisk. The largest religious structure ever built in the history of the world, where the Pharaoh of Egypt was to become the resurrected Horus, or son of Osiris. In case you were unaware of this, you're dealing with demon worshippers, and this is not a joke. This is a spiritual battle for the souls of men, so make no mistake about it. So let me put a line right there, so I know where to come back to. And let me give you your mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School at Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the International Forecaster. That's a biweekly publication put out by Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman's address on the Internet now. I don't have an address for him. He's down in some place called Punta Gorda, Florida. See if I've got an address for him here back on the back page here. I don't have one. So if you can't find him on the Internet, if you're listening on radio someplace over in Spain or South Korea, if you will call us here at the Law School, and we will pass on an address to you. If you can't find it, call us and we'll find one for you. But otherwise, he's located on the Internet, and it's called internationalforecaster.com, and it's spelled INTFORECASTER.COM. So it's www, you know, your three W's, dot, and then go INTFORECASTER. International Forecaster is what that represents, and it's all one word, .com. And then you can send him an email if you want to put bob@intforecaster.com. Just Bob at. Know that at sign. All right, he goes on to say here on page 4, he said, this is what our shadow government has in store for you in the future. And yes, you're about to experience paganism at its finest, or at its worst, depending upon your point of view. Now, where is the outrage, people of America? Where is the outcry from our Christian right, who have been bamboozled into thinking that the all-seeing eye is the God of the Bible? Every structure in Washington, D.C. screams paganism. Greek and Roman gods are plastered all over our nation's primary political, historical, and educational structures and on our coins. Our coins say, in God we trust. But is it the God or is it a God? The God or a God? Which is it? Which is really being referred to here. This ambiguity is intentional, and it allows the forces of evil to accept that verbiage on U.S. coinage and Federal Reserve notes. Freedom and democracy and Christianity have become a front for outright paganism and Satanism, for empire, dictatorship, and bondage. We have a rotten underbelly of evil that is consuming our nation like a cancer, and the time to stand up and be counted against these satanic influences is now. Now let's discuss the choice of venue for our latest false flag operation, BP, the BP disaster. Of all of the offshore rigs, why the one in the Gulf of Mexico? Well, 30% of domestic production is a big factor, to be sure. But they could have accomplished their purposes with any deep water oil rig located off the shores of the United States with a lot less political fallout for the current administration and the jackasses. And if you still doubt, that is, if you still doubt that this was sabotage or intentional neglect, which is really the same thing, then we ask how it was that Goldman Sachs somehow managed to sell a big chunk of their BP stock along with UBS just before the disaster, which Fabrice Thierry bragged about over the internet to his girlfriend. Just more Goldman Sachs luck, huh? And then there was the occult-oriented movie called Knowing by Summit Entertainment, starring Nicolas Cage, which came out in 2009, which had a news clip showing a burning oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Do you think that's just another coincidence? And what about the chair that Mel Gibson's character weighs in the movie The Patriot, which came out in the year 2000? Do you remember what it weighed? 9 pounds, 11 ounces. Just as in 9/11? Do you believe that's just another fortuitous coincidence? Come on, people. Come out of your denial and let's get into action. Destroy all the incumbents in November after loading up on gold and silver, freeze-dried food and water filters, and a weapon that has lots of ammo. The more patriots who prepare for this, the stronger the resistance to the Illuminist machinations will be. Otherwise, we're looking at bloodshed on a scale that's going to make the French Revolution look like a barroom brawl. Believe it. You don't want to go into combat unless all of the alternatives have been exhausted first. So let's be ready. But again, we digress. The answer to our question about the venue of our false flag oil spill disaster can be seen if you take a look at the political map for the 2008 election. State by state, with red for the dumbos and blue for the jackasses, which together form our one political party called the Dumbo Ass Party. But again, we digress. The states that have a coastline bordering on the Gulf of Mexico or in any potentially affected areas along the east coast due to the flow of the Gulf Stream are all in red, with two exceptions, Florida and North Carolina. But even in Florida and North Carolina, when you go county by county, virtually the entire coastline of both Florida and North Carolina are in the red as well, with Miami County being a notable exception. So on a county by county basis, you have Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina showing as virtually all red in their coastal areas, with the most notable exceptions being the virtually all red in their coastal areas, with the most notable exception being the southern tip of Texas and part of South Carolina's coast, and the coastal areas of Florida and North Carolina being virtually all red, with the notable exception being, again, Miami County and a few small blue blocks in more populous cities along the Florida coast. Now, this red area is called the Bible Belt, which has become heavily Dumbo over the years. And here lies the most anti-big government, anti-socialist, anti-fascist bastions of strength in our nation due to their Judeo-Christian values. Now the Joker, our president, got his revenge because, remember, all of these people voted against him in 2008. And more importantly, to the Illuminati, they struck a virtual death blow to the state economies of the Bible Belt, every one of them, in one fell swoop. A bastion of anti-Illuminist cities, a bastion of anti-Illuminist citizens who have never forgotten what a powerful central government did to them both during and after the Civil War. Now, you may contend that slavery was wrong, but the issue was not addressed in the Constitution, and the Constitution had to be amended by two-thirds of the states to make slavery a federal issue. Instead, the southern states were forced into a battle which at its core was about states' rights over an overbearing central government. Now, every state in the Union is faced with this nemesis of an out-of-control, socialistic, fascist federal government that thinks your rights flow from that central government in Washington instead of flowing from your creator, the creator of the universe. Now, this is a real issue in question. This is the core of the problem. And now, the stupid state governments have been on the federal tits for so long that most of these state governments will go under unless there is federal help, just as planned now for many, many decades. They should have been weaned from the government's trough years ago, but they haven't. The legislatures and governors of these states have sold out their citizens to this evil scum in Manhattan and Washington, D.C., also known as Goldman Sachs North and Goldman Sachs South, and to our shadow government composed of the Council or Committee of 300, the Trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Black Nobility, and the Illuminist-influenced tax-exempt trusts and foundations and non-governmental organizations known as NGOs, among others, which Dr. Stanley Monteith correctly refers to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. The Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me underline that. That's Stan Monteith. Now, Dr. Stan is another a good guy to listen to. I don't know if he puts out a newsletter or not, but he has a radio program called Radio Liberty that is broadcast out of Monterey, California. I think if you were to get on the internet and look up Radio Liberty, I think you'll find that guy there. Radio Liberty. And he's been on the, he's an old man, he's an old medical doctor. My God, he must be pushing 90. He'd been on forever. And he's been faithful. He has been revealing this political, economic collapse, you know, that's been in the making now for the last, well, all of my life, 70 years. And he does it over the radio, Radio Liberty. Bob Chapman, he's on Radio Liberty every once in a while. Bob Chapman's on the radio constantly. So if you want to know what's going on, it isn't a secret. I mean, you know, it's out there. But you're not going to hear it on the mainstream press. You're not going to hear it over CBS, NBC, and ABC. But you'll get it from Radio Liberty. You'll get it from Bob Chapman. You'll get it from Joel Skousen. You know, there's guys out there, James Cook and others. And North and so on. There's one here, another publication I like real well. It's called The Money Changer, put out by Franklin Sanders. And remember that Privateer I report on every once in a while, put out by Buckler in Australia. See, all of these guys now are telling you the story. When this comes down upon your head, boys and girls, it will not be a surprise, or it ought not to be. It's coming, but it ought not to be a surprise. Now, if the South, that's you people down here in the South, these southern states around the Gulf, if you think that Sherman's march to the sea spread destruction and devastation, you haven't seen anything yet. This oil flowing into the Gulf has been greatly underestimated, and this entire Gulf will become a dead zone, and much of the fresh water supplies could be poisoned by this oil as well. And the cleanup chemicals that they have dumped into the ocean have made it even worse. Just the food sources alone that have been or will be lost will be devastating. This is step two in the destruction of the economy of the United States. Step one being the fallout from the various financial fraud debacles on Wall Street, which have elevated the rate of unemployment to almost one out of every four Americans that were previously employed, while at the same time inflating us into poverty and destroying the value of our homes, destroying the value of our savings, destroying the value of our pensions, destroying the value of our real estate, and with loan fraud, fraud in the creation of various derivatives, stock market crashes, and near zero interest rates. All of that has been engineered over the last 36 months. That isn't the end of the line yet. They're not through with us. There's more to come. Now, next comes the near total destruction of the bond and the housing markets, and then the commercial real estate markets. And then the sovereign governments around the world are succumbing to a juggernaut of debt itself, of elevated risk, and of much higher interest rates. The nationalization of your pensions and of your individual retirement accounts, your IRAs, into the Social Security system, Medicaid, and the Obamacare Ponzi schemes, devaluation of the dollar and the destruction by way of the quadrillion-dollar derivative Death Star of the banking system, along with a major war to provide a profitable distraction from your ever-increasing woes, along with a draft to provide the necessary cannon fodder, and for those of you who need it spelled out, that would be the blood of your sons and daughters who will be vainly slaughtered fighting the sons and daughters of other people around the world, so that this evil, satanic scum who run this country and the other illuminist bastions around the world can make more trillions of dollars, which they will then use to continue to fund your enslavement and entry into serfdom in their Novus Ordo Seclorum. And only you can stop this bloodbath. Vote against the Illuminati with your gold and silver purchases, and then vote all of the illuminist scum out of Congress, better known as incumbents. You do not want the blood of your sons and daughters to be on your hands. Your brave military people have never failed us, but the people who have sent these brave military heroes into these bitter conflicts have failed our military people every single time by letting the Illuminati have their way. Well, I say, not this time, over our dead bodies. Let that be your mantra. Now, the members of the European Union, with perhaps the exception of Germany, have now joined the Illuminist legacy banks as members of the Walking Dead. The European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve of the United States can do all of the bailing that they want to, but they are using mop buckets to bail out a tsunami wave of debt that is crashing over their bow. Now, no one wants to be a slave to the Bank of International Settlements. That's called the BIS. And so let me put a little mark right here and tell you something about the BIS here. The Bank for International Settlements is headed by 13 men. These 13 men sit at the pinnacle of policymaking worldwide. I got that from Frank the Gold Broker. And then around the world, there are central banks. And these central banks run each country. That's the Federal Reserve in the United States and the Bank of England for you Brits, and then the Bank of Canada for you Canadians, you know, and the Bank of Australia. You all have a central bank. Everybody in the world has one. But it's the Bank for International Settlements, and these 13 guys are the guys that are setting the policy. And they don't control everybody all the time in every little nook and cranny, but, you know, when they find that there's a bastion of resistance like we see down here in the Gulf Coast and the Bible Belt, okay, well, now you Bible-thumping Christians down there are going to get your comeuppance. And your God, the creator of the universe, let me give you a little explanation here. You people down in the Bible Belt, nice guys, all of you, all of you are good people. I don't deny that. But, you know, you've got a breach of contract problem with your creator. And all of you Catholic fishermen down there on the Gulf Coast running out of New Orleans, see, most of those people down there in New Orleans and down in Louisiana are Catholics. They come from the French. The French are Catholics. And as a result of that, you're down there practicing Catholic theology and Catholic philosophy, and you're conservatives. And so you don't fit into the New World Order, and you don't fit into the Scripture either. And the reason you don't fit into the Scripture is because you're fishing for oysters, shrimp, and what's the other one down there? They got shrimp, oysters, and crabs. And those are unclean meats, and they're prohibited by the Creator, you know, the God of creation. And as a result of that, I think He's going to punish you for your unclean foods down there in Louisiana, at least. And then you've got the other God over here. He's bummed out at you because you're conservatives, and you're resisting the socialist New World Order. And you people in the South are probably the last bastion of resistance in the United States against the New World Order. But at the same time, you're out here praying to Jesus, and Jesus told you what He was going to do to you. Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 and read that chapter. It'll take you about 5 minutes. Well, if you're normal, take you 10 or 15 if you're like me, suffering from public school. I'm one of those recovering public school kids. It takes me 15 minutes to read it. And then about verse 19, God told you, He's going to give you the answer. He says, you know, you're going to cry out to me in that day because of this king that you set over you, and I will not hear you. So if you people down there in the South are praying out to Jesus now, He's already told you ain't listening to this crap because you've been giving Him the finger. So that's me. That's not Bob Chapman. I just thought I'd put that in there for you so you could see what your problem is. You got this double whammy. So you need to fix that double whammy. You know, you need to get square with our contract, number one, with the God of the universe, number two, and then He'll take care of these Illuminists and that oil spill down there, number three. Okay, that's my view. Now, here comes Bob Chapman along here again. Now, this is Bob. He says, no one wants to be a slave to the Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank for the next three or four or more generations. And so all the efforts to resurrect these economies will ultimately be rejected. Now, the pigs will go under first, and the rest will follow in short order as their pigs' bonds get vaporized. Everyone is on to the con game of the Illuminati, who are trembling with fear over what they've done, desperate for a war to act as a scapegoat for the blame over the financial destruction that they have wreaked in their ill-considered attempt to create a one-world government and to take some of the heat off of themselves by creating a major distraction where people are more worried about their personal safety and that of their children than they are about their various financial woes. Now, let's think about 9/11. In times past, these black flag operations, you know, like Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Tonkin, and 9/11, they came to light with 9/11 and the Internet because in the past, only a small number of people would ever find out what happened. The broad majority of people, you know, 80, 90%, you know, they believe the straight government line. Now, when you ask people in America what they think of the Kennedy assassination, it's just the opposite. 20% believe the Warren Report and 80% believe that it was fabricated by government. Kennedy was killed by government. 9/11. 80% of Americans now believe and know that 9/11 was an inside government operation. We don't know what the hell we're going to do about it other than go down and vote on a computer that's already been pre-programmed with a pre-programmed result. But, you know, you're going to go down and vote anyway, so I guess you might as well go down and have a good time, cast your vote. But old Joe Stalin told you the answer to that riddle. He said, it's not who votes that counts. It's who counts the votes that counts. And as long as you've got computer touchscreens without any paper trail, it's who counts the votes that counts. Wake up. Smell the coffee here. Now, I don't think you're going to affect any kind of political solution. Bob Chapman thinks that you can and that you ought to. Well, get after it if that's what you're getting after, if that's what you're thinking. I think that our problem's a little bit deeper than that. I think that we've got to cure that breach of contract that we have with our God. And as soon as we do that, you can rest assured He'll take care of the rest. But until we cure that breach of contract, you know, we're going to get tuned up. And our Creator is using these Illuminists to tune us up. Now, we're going to be on the receiving end of another false flag attack, perhaps in the United States, perhaps against our troops stationed abroad. But rest assured, it's coming. It could perhaps be a cyber attack against our power infrastructure with a return address in Iran. or a suitcase nuke, or a chemical or biological weapons attack, or tensions between Israel and Iran, or between North and South Korea that boil over into another venue. So is Obama really anti-Israel, or is he creating plausible deniability to separate us from Israel in a go-it-alone attack on Iran that we will manage to become involved in by a false flag attack against American troops with a false Iranian return address? After all, Obama's chief of staff is Rahm Emanuel. Remember, Rahm Emanuel now is a dual citizen of Israel and the United States. He's a Khazar. And we have a bunch of carrier convoys en route right now to the Middle East. And, of course, that does not mean that Rahm is pro-Israel. As we already know, he is a pro-Illuminist and might think nothing of sacrificing Israel on the altar of world government. You have to look at all of the angles. We don't know the circumstances that they've chosen, but we can rest assured, based upon their past actions, that they will try to get you all riled up for war as they did with 9/11 and all the other false flag attacks that they've used to start all of the other wars and conflicts that we've been involved in the 20th and 21st centuries. You know, that's a given. So you can expect it. You can prepare for it. Question is, and do not allow them to drag you kicking and screaming into another pointless war. We have to put an end to all of this endless cycle of wars for profit, for empire, for power, for consolidation, for distraction of the public from their domestic woes. So note how gold explodes whenever the euro takes a dive. Those of you who think that the euro is going much lower in the near future better think again. And the explosion of gold whenever the euro goes down alone give the Illuminati powerful reasons to support the euro, as will the potential for a devastating trade imbalance that's going to aggravate the U.S. debt problem from a balance of payments perspective. Remember, we get three-quarters of our goods from overseas. Outsourcing, remember? Hey, I'm out of time again. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.